On News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples here chatting with Susan Moore, director of the Rabies Laboratory at KSU Vet Med here. Again, mentioned the there's an effort here by the year 2030 to outright eliminate rabies, and a lot of research going on here, right here in Manhattan, believe it or not. I'd like to know what advancements have been made so far that's given veterinarians optimism that it can outright be eliminated.
Yes, it's interesting that rabies is one of the diseases that we actually do know how to prevent it, and the issue is more getting implementing all of these things. In fact, in 2007, the United States eliminated canine strain rabies. We no longer have that in the United States. All of the rabies in the United States is transmitted by wildlife. So along those lines, some of the advances to help other areas of the world get the same success that we've had in the United States is using GPS to actually track rabid animals and vaccination status of the animal. It provides a lot of information and gives information on where an area should be vaccinated. And then the developing vaccines that can withstand different temperatures. That's really, really important so that these vaccines can be delivered to the areas that need them and still be effective. One other thing is using rabies vaccines that are in oral baits. So actually, to vaccinate wildlife, you have to put the vaccine in a bait and put it out for the wildlife to pick it up and get vaccinated. So those are a couple.
All right. As far as the GPS tracking, would that involve microchipping animals?
It can, but in places like Haiti, where they've used it a lot, it's mainly to let the people who are organizing the vaccine campaign and making sure the vaccine is used appropriately, is to actually identify where those animals are and where they're dying of rabies, so they can actually see where they are. But it's been tremendously useful. It's been so helpful in effectively using vaccines.
All right. Well, it's great statistics you mentioned there. I didn't even realize that rabies in dogs was pretty much eliminated here.
Right, and I want to be clear that dogs still get rabies, but they will get them from wildlife. So dogs still need to be vaccinated.
Gotcha.
But it is still a huge achievement for the United States is to eliminate that strain. And so it's not dogs passing rabies to dogs.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about the maybe some of the highlights of research being done here at VetMed.
Yeah, in our laboratory, we are actually one of the largest rabies serology laboratories in the world. So we do a lot of the clinical trials for the new vaccines that are being developed, such as genetic vaccines. There's some messenger RNA vaccines out there that are helping with that cold chain and being really temperature stable. We get those samples in from clinical trials around the world, and we do the testing here. And so our results are actually presented to regulatory bodies like FDA for approval of the vaccine. So we're closely involved in the development of vaccines and other products for rabies prevention.
All right. And how does that research look here compared to where we were maybe 10 years ago?
I think 10 years ago, it was very, very traditional vaccines, inactivated rabies virus. Right now, there are so many different, they're approaching it from so many different ways to be cost-effective and more immunogenic. So there is a lot of progress that way.
Okay. As far as you know, you mentioned who should get rabies vaccines here. The livestock producers too. I mean, they're included in that conversation as well. If they've got horses or cows, get them vaccinated as well.
Right. Primarily, we're thinking about veterinarians, veterinarian technicians, animal control workers, anyone who's going to have excess risk of being around wildlife and domestic animals that may carry rabies.
Okay. I noticed here that there's the Global Alliance for Rabies Control, and as I understand, that's right here in Manhattan.
Right. Actually, the headquarters are actually here in Manhattan because the person who started that organization was our former director, Dr. Deborah Briggs, and she single-handedly kind of put this effort together, and I would say, not to brag on her, but I would say it was through her efforts that this this effort to eliminate rabies in 2030 actually came together, because she was working both with the World Health Organization, the World Organization for Animal Health, the Food and Animal Organization, and she brought them all together to, we would call it a One Health approach, bringing human medicine and animal medicine together, and putting their efforts effectively and efficiently together.
What does that mean here for KSU VetMed and the area in general here, just to be a kind of a leader in this effort?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a point of pride, obviously, that she was able to do that. And we get a lot of international visitors to our laboratory who are interested in the vaccine trials and what we do here. We actually have an international meeting that will be held in Kansas City, but we're hosting it, bringing together experts throughout the world just to talk about rabies.
Okay. And I understand it's the largest rabies serology laboratory in the world.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's a little known fact.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. That's right here in our backyard. Mm-hmm. What else do you have here for us as far as what we should know?
Yeah, I think some of the misconceptions about rabies, especially in the United States, because there's a lack of awareness, is since people don't hear about it, there's not a lot of people dying of rabies, is and we have advanced so far in medicine, right, that people think that anything's curable, and rabies is not. It remains uncurable, and the only way to prevent rabies is to get that treatment right after the bite. There's a long incubation period, so you do have time to get that vaccination. So that misconception that it's curable kind of hurts people, because they just think, oh, you know, if I get rabies, I can get treated for it. Another thing is that that rabid animals are going to be clearly identified. They're going to be acting strange. They're going to be foaming at the mouth, and sometimes they'll have the paralytic type of rabies, where they just have like hind limb paralysis, or they'll just act a little bit, you know, ill, but they're not really rabid like you would think it would be. One other thing is that people may think that their animals could get treated after they've been exposed to rabies, and that's not true either. And that's why rabies vaccination is so important in pets.
All right, yeah, because, you know, pets go outdoors, cats especially, dogs. If you encounter a wild animal and you don't know,
right.
And you can't watch them 24 hours a day. I mean, if they do get out and get into the wild, so.
Yeah, and I will mention that it has been the fact for many years that the domestic animal that's most likely to be diagnosed as rabid are cats.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me, yeah, really, because of the way they like to get around.
Exactly.
So.
They're nocturnal in a way, yeah.
Yeah. And bats, I just have to say, bats are probably one of my least favorite animals to be around in general.
Some people like them.
Yeah. But that's one of the main reasons right there. I don't want to be bit. And we don't really have worry about bats too much out here in central Kansas, I wouldn't imagine.
Actually, there are, here in Manhattan and even on K-State campus, there are bats living in buildings. They can live in houses. And, you know, if a bat becomes rabid, the thing to worry about is if that bat is down on the ground, because bats don't land on the ground normally if they're healthy. And many people will see a bat down on the ground or see them in their house, and then they'll go to pick them up. And bats are very flexible, and you don't think you're going to get bit by them, but if they're alive and they're rabid, they're going to bite you. So
just avoid bats.
That's right.
At all cost. All right, Susan, anything else we should know here before we let you go?
Just particularly about bats, one thing people think of is when they find them, just to catch them and then let them go. But if there's any question on whether that bat has bit either their pet or themselves, to capture the bat and then send it into our laboratory because we can test it. And if it tests negative, then there's no worries at all.
All right. And can you guys pick the bat up then from their house, or should they just bring it in?
Call animal control.
Okay.
There are some instructions on, you know, the internet on if you want to catch the bat yourself using a box and, you know, heavy gloves, that you can do it yourselves, but you can call animal control in Manhattan.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Susan, thank you so much here for sharing all this information, and we'll have it up online here later today. Susan Moore, director of the Rabies Laboratory, KSU VetMed, our guest. Stay tuned. We'll talk to Melissa Kirkwood coming up here from Parks and Rec in just a bit.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care.